And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome in, friends, to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. We are back. I am Chris Welsh, and joining me for a little bit of Super Bowl and future fantasy talk is Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston. We are all back together like the Wolf Pack, the three best friends that anybody ever had. Jake is in rare form. He is getting ready for a wedding that I don't think I realized, Brandon. I just found out, is being live streamed. So like you and me, Brandon, could do live commentary of the wedding and people could watch along if we wanted.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's a private live screening. We're not going to throw a link out so everybody in the world can watch.
Oh, see, that's
Jake.
What I was thinking. No, Jake, I think he's going to...
The link is on the webpage. If you have the webpage link, you can check the link to check the link. Like if
wow.
You
yeah. Okay. All right.
So like this is big stuff. So Jake's going to be a married man. I don't know, but maybe by the next time we have an episode, you'll be a married man. Don't know the exact schedule, but we are glad to be back with you guys. Pre-Super Bowl here, which is right down the street from me. There's all these activities that I'm not involved in, which makes me very sad, everybody. I want to be involved in all of them. Brandon, I saw your buddy Brad Evans tweeting about being out here in rocking during the Super Bowl in Radio Row, and I want to be a part of all of it. But I am at least glad to be here with both of you so we can talk about a few props, we can talk about the Super Bowl itself, and some of the biggest fantasy moves that are going to be impacted during this free agency. That's going to be on the second half of the episode that we can tease here. So I know you guys don't get the experience like I do. I literally drive down the street and see the Super Bowl going on. But how prepared are we, Brandon? Do you have your bets set? Are you going to unload the book and make huge, huge bets?
Probably not, but I have my Super Bowl party prop sheet about ready to go live. So I've been immersed in not only, you know, game player props, team bets and sides totals and things like that, but I've also been kind of plugged into the pomp and circumstance around the Super Bowl with the commercials and the props for the national anthem and missing one, the coin flip. And I even dug deep this year. I like to make mine unique. So I actually threw out the flyover formation options you can choose on my party prop
really?
Sheet. So it's been revealed there's four aircraft that will be flying over the stadium. And so I've thrown out three different kind of formation options you can choose.
I was about to say, what other formation, but like our Mighty Ducks flying V. Yeah, there's always a flying V. What else is that?
Well, okay, with four, though, you can't make like a true V, but it's called finger four. So if you look down at your finger, like the lead, the finger four, if you look down at your hand, like your
the four horsemen,
your middle finger would be the lead plane, and then the other planes would fall into index, pinky, and ring finger. So that would be a formation. It's an official formation. And
are
then
you saying
also,
the thumb is not a finger? Is that what you're trying to say?
Thumb is not a finger. Okay. In this instance, there is a diamond. So each plane is in the point of a diamond. There's a diagonal one, which is called echelon. Echelon is diagonal. Like the lead plane is out there, and then they go in a line backwards in a diagonal.
Is there a word for the one where they fly like three and then there's one that's kind of like catty corner underneath or catty corner over top?
Like a scorpion maybe?
Yeah, there is. And I actually included, well, when the prop sheet comes out, there is a link that does have a few others. Because I do include other as an option. There's like three or four, but
there you go.
Here's some insight. I looked at a couple of the flyovers and they actually, the last two with four planes was in a diamond shape. So I didn't add that in there because I didn't want to be leading, but that's a little insight for anybody who listens to this podcast.
This is incredible. No, I mean, novelty bets are incredible, but every year I'm amazed by the next level of novelty bet that comes out there. And if that one is available anywhere, that would be amazing. I know there's always like the fringy sites that are like, they jump in on the novelty ones. I don't really see a lot of the.
Well, here's the funny thing is there was initially props being offered on the number of planes, but that was revealed by like the U.S. Navy, I don't know, like a week or two ago. So if I don't know if they pulled it down right away, but it was revealed that there's four planes that'll be flying over. And then in my search, I found a place where they're offering a prop on over 4.5 or under 4.5. And the longer odds were on under 4.5. So,
Jake, are you planning to pay for some of the wedding with some of these Super Bowl novelty bets?
Nope.
Wedding paid for.
I sometimes forget those really great. Those are my favorite answers. Those are my favorite answers of all time. Hey, Jake, set up. How we doing? You gonna do it? Nope. Oh yeah.
Don't call the best color man in the business for nothing.
Do you want the rest? Do you want the rest of the analysis? Because they're dumb as
pork chop sandwiches.
How about that? Because they're all about 50-50. At the end of the night, okay, I made $10 on my $500 because I got slightly more right than I got wrong, because there's no rhyme or reason to all of them. We're going to talk about some. I'll have fun with them. You guys can have fun. This is the same as I say fantasy leagues. Do what you want. If you think it's fun, go for it. You're going to hate my rankings for the commercials. You're going to hate it. I don't like prop bets on the Super Bowl. I don't like random jabroni nonsense making prop bets. That's like, you know, like at least when I like make some money, it's off of game action that I see happen. It's not over what, no offense, Funston, but it's not over which finger's flying forward in the damn formation.
Not a true degenerate.
Get off my lawn.
There, yeah, I was about to say, that's not the sound of a degenerate if I've ever heard one.
Well, I was just saying, you print out the Super Bowl party prop sheet that I do.
That's
and
fine.
Then you do it with a bunch of people, and whoever gets the most
fine.
Right, decide to throw in a certain amount of money, you know, and then, you know, the winner takes all, or you figure something out.
I don't know
out.
What kind of Super Bowl parties you've been to, but I've never had one that could pay for a honeymoon. Sorry that I'll roll in your neighborhood.
I'm thick. I'm talking betting the props. The game real quick. The game is a horrible game. It's the worst setup we could have had, of course, because the 49ers were knocked out before. Contemplated not watching the Super Bowl, but then I remembered who I am. I went with my kid down to right where the stadium was the other day, and we went into one of the sports shops, and it is littered. Half of the store, it's all the jerseys and stuff. It's just all Chiefs and Eagles, and I threw up on my Patrick Mahomes jersey. Then I left. And it's gross, and I don't like to think about it. It's all inundated with me. I am contemplating doing the NFL experience, maybe taking my kid to that, and getting out there just a tiny bit. Maybe I can see a 49 or two to make me happy. But the game itself, let's talk about that for a second, because we're going to do a few of our favorite bets, begrudgingly for Jake. We'll do some novelty. But the game itself currently, Eagles, Chiefs, is this the best Super Bowl matchup in your eyes, or would the 49ers or Bengals have been just a slightly bit better, knowing that the Niners is the correct answer?
No, Jake. The correct answer was Bengals-Eagles. That was the best Super Bowl. That was 100% what I wanted to see have happen. I actually think the margin of victory would have been closer in that game than it will be in this one, not spoiling anything on there. And I do have some props that are just based on players and game stuff, but... No, I actually was 100% wanting to see Bengals, Eagles. I think it's the second best. I think it's very close. I think it's like a 1A to 1B. You're 49ers. No, I didn't want to see your stupid 49ers in the Super Bowl.
You didn't want to see Josh Johnson behind the wheel?
I didn't want to see Brock Purdy. I mean, it would have been fun for the storyline, but I think, honestly...
You'd have seen Jimmy Garoppolo is actually what you would have seen, because Purdy was out, and you would have seen Garoppolo in the Super Bowl, which would have made an incredible
Purdy
story.
Didn't get hurt. That's where I was going with that. Like, it would have been a fun story if he didn't get hurt, but... What happened against the Eagles, if that didn't happen then, whether or not Purdy didn't get hurt, it was going to happen in the Super Bowl against either one of those teams. The 49ers were clearly, in my opinion, the far and away last man standing in that group of four. It was the three and then the 49ers.
All right. Well, Jake's not any fun. Brandon?
I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm with Jake. I'm with you. I wanted to see Cincinnati and San Francisco. Now, my buddy, we have a text thread that we're always going back and forth with a group of guys. He played minor league baseball with Brock Purdy's dad, Sean Purdy. So literally anything on social media that had to do with Brock Purdy, he was constantly including it in this text thread. So I got to hate Brock Purdy.
Wait, he has a real dad? I thought he was an immaculate conception, and he didn't, like, God was his dad.
Exactly. But I was I'm behind Joe Burrow, and I love that kind of sort of no-name Cincinnati Bengals defense, which has been awesome all year long. And I just wanted to see Cincy in San Francisco. I'm kind of agnostic about this Super Bowl. I mean, Chiefs, third time in 4 years. The Eagles, it's really hard to embrace the Eagle Nation. I mean, they're a prickly bunch, you know. And so, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of going to watch this one as an impartial observer.
Yeah, and the game itself, if we're looking at a betting perspective, I believe the line opened at 2.5. It looks like it's down at 1.5 on the Eagles right now.
No, it opened on the Chiefs.
It opened, that's right.
Immediately swung to the Eagles.
You're right about that. That's what it was. I knew there was a
swing. And it went to 2.5. It did go to 2.5, though.
It did go to 2.5.
Okay, yeah. So I'm mixing both of those up. But we get there, and we're now sitting at least as we're doing this midweek, 1.5 on the Eagles. There was a huge bet just put in the other day. I believe it was on MGM for Eagles money line, a couple million dollar bet or whatever. So there's a lot of money coming in there. Brandon, let's start with you. 1.5 is the line. What's the bet on the game? You know, I didn't even look. I should have looked what the over under is, because there might be a better bet 50, on that in general. 50. I've seen.
What is it? So yesterday on BetMGM, it was down to Eagles minus 0.5. So
it was 50. It's 50.5, right?
It is 51. I see it at 51.
So 50.5. There you go.
It's going to be somewhere between 50 and 51. So that's the over line, and 1.5 to 0.5. All right. So what's the bet on both of those for you, Brandon?
I would like to, if I'm seriously going to consider betting this, I'm going to kind of wait this out and see if I can get 0.5 again on the Eagles. It might happen. I might still take the Eagles at minus 1.5. I think the Eagles, with their line play, with the 70 sacks, which hasn't happened since 1989, that a team has gotten 70 sacks before in a season, kind of reminiscent of Tampa and Kansas City. I think what we're going to see is that Patrick Mahomes is going to have a hard time. It's going to be the same deal. That Tampa defense was awesome. They did a great job of putting pressure on Mahomes, and they won that one going away. I don't think the Eagles are going to win this one going away, but I think the trench warfare is going to side in the Eagles' favor, and I think ultimately that's going to be the difference in the game.
That's interesting. You can get minus 125 on the money line for the Eagles. So, I mean, if they go to 0.5, it's probably going to be, I don't know, maybe minus 110 if you're lucky. That might even boost it. All right, so Jake, you said you don't think this is going to be particularly close, it sounded like. It sounds like you think there's going to be a runaway, so your bet might be a little bit easier. I've seen a lot of push towards the over on projected points that have been put out there. So I feel like the over seems really interesting right now. But what side are you going to take, Eagles or Chiefs?
I don't love the over, actually. That one concerns me because everything Funston just said, and some of these things are going to tie into some of the other conversations, like one of Funston's props, I'll save, what ties into my opinion of this game. But basically, look at the Eagles this season, and of their wins, only three weren't by five or more, and then there was two that were 5 and 6, and then everything else behind that, it was over a score. So this is a win big game because what Funston said, I think there's not much that they can do. I mean, Brown has been playing great, but I don't think there's going to be much they can do to keep them, the Eagles, away from Mahomes the entire game. There is an answer for what I think could help them in this game, but you look at the Eagles' corners, you eliminate basically everybody they play solo, and there's nobody on the outside that you have to worry about much. See, that's the biggest thing, is you have an elite alpha number one, then you can put some pressure on the Eagles' secondary. But when you have this team's offense, which their most vulnerable defense for the Eagles option is out of the slot. So you're looking at Juju, who's only played about a third there this year because of how this offense is. So Juju, you can almost say, might get eliminated from this game. He's been eliminated from a lot lately.
Juju in the last month doesn't have higher than two catches.
A lot lately. Yeah. MVS, maybe a big play, but he should have a lot of problems himself. So now you're putting the shoulders of Kadarius Toney. Look, maybe he stays healthy the entire game, seems to work out the slot, but this just opens up the Eagles to be able to focus on Kelsey. And unless Toney does something, and one of Brandon's props, which I'll get to in a second, but those kind of things, I just don't see it. So I actually, one of my favorite props is Eagles at minus 3.5, because if you look, there's a big break from your odds boost that you go from 2.5, 3 to 3.5. There's a big jump there, and there's not a big jump until you get to about 7 or 8. 3, 4, and 5 are all super close, which doesn't make a lot of sense to just get that extra 10 to 20 points
for on the line to just go and bet the three. So you'll see. I see you looking at it right now. So if you want to parlay it too, like a minus 3.5, the under, or even juice up your under a little bit, and those kind of things, that's where I'm looking for in this game. But I think this is the Eagles, which also means one of my other favorite props, which you get to in a second. But I think the Eagles are taking this one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, I was looking at what the alternate spread looks like it's going to pay, so I know you'll talk about that. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I want the Chiefs to win. I want the Chiefs to win. I don't want the Eagles to win. I do.
This is coming from a Giants fan.
Yeah, here's one of the things.
I don't want it either.
If the Chiefs wide receiver situation was a tiny bit better, I'd feel good because you talked about the pressure. There, if I was going to bet on one quarterback to be able to make plays in pressure, it'd be Patrick Mahomes. He's designed for this. The problem is exactly what you put out. There's not great separation from any of those wide receivers. The Eagles didn't do a great job of shutting down Kittle necessarily. The Niners did it to themselves with not having a quarterback. But Kittle was, you know, doing some stuff. Kelsey's going to be able to do some stuff, but if they can focus in, I really just don't know where they're going to have a lot of separation. I feel like the Chiefs are going to have to just pound first down after first down. They're not going to make big plays, and they're going to have to wear down the defense. Can they do it? Yes. Do I want to make a huge bet on it? No. If I were to play anything, I probably would play the money line on the Eagles. I wouldn't want to play a spread. I'd rather like eat a couple points on it. Let's talk about the game props then that's going to come into this, because you were talking about that, Jake, that I've got a couple here. You've got a couple. Let's start with yours. Your favorite prop bets from this. We're all kind of on the Eagles side, which means the Chiefs are going to win by 10. But what do you say as far as the props that you're going to want to lay? And you were kind of setting the stage for one of them.
Yeah, so it's the Eagles by 3.5. If you want to play with around with that money line and move in for the alternate spreads, I'm definitely taking that. I think that, again, Well, I was on the All in Football podcast. I said I see this be like 28-21, something like that. So I definitely think it's going to be, not a touchdown, right around a touchdown margin.
I see it at +153 on DraftKings. So you're going to get it.
And if you see what I'm talking about, you see 4.5 and 5. Like, those aren't big differences. It's not enough to like push to it. It just doesn't make sense to go those extra 2 points for what you're giving up.
Yeah, I mean, if you felt the touchdown is interesting because you can get +223 at 6.5.
Yeah,
6.5 is 2.3.
So you could play around with some of that, but my other favorite, obviously, is the Jalen Hurts MVP. I mean, look, it's going to be a quarterback, especially with these two quarterbacks. It takes astronomical games from other players, as we've seen, like a Cooper Kupp or something like that. Like, it just, you got to have something. And like, it's so hard to do a wide receiver because it has to be something like that where the quarterback also maybe made some mistakes. But, you know, Jalen Hurts, if he runs on top of it, like, I just, it's Hurts. And then the other one, for might be a little sneaky one, they took,
So they took his yards off some sites because it was 14 and a half. And then the sites they brought it back, they dropped his yards down to like 10 and a half, 11 and a half, and 12 and a half. So I'm staying away from the yards unless you can still find the 14, because Quez Watkins, under 1.5 receptions, under 14 and a half yards, both of those have hit one time since like the beginning of December. Like, he's just not involved anymore. So like I said, they got smart. They pulled that 14 and a half off a lot and then dropped it down. But I still like the under 1.5 receptions, which hasn't been put in yet. Hasn't been affected yet, I should say. So those two I like. And then you can, yeah, I mean, that's even another thing you can throw into a parlay if you want to go for that and try to pay for your honeymoon.
That's exactly. Got to pay for it, Jake. Let's pay for that honeymoon. I like those. I actually really, really like those. I like the MVP one too. That's plus money. Plus 120. He's actually, Jalen Hurts is odds on favorite right now for it, but you're still getting plus money on it. All right, Brandon, let's give us some Super Bowl props that you're digging into.
Yeah, well, Jake was talking about probably Jerick McKinnon as a receiving option in this game, as an outlet, you know, to kind of like, you know, compete against that pass rush. So you look at his prop, those 2.5 on the catches, and that's like minus 160, minus 155. So I also like Kenneth Gainwell for over 1.5 catches, but that's also minus 155, minus 160. I forget. One of them's one and one of them's the other. So
I'm seeing McKinnon at 150 on DK, and Gainwell is 1.5 receptions at minus 130. This is just one book.
Okay. So those are better. Those are better odds than what you can get at BetMGM right now, because I was looking at BetMGM. But either way, on BetMGM, if I slap those together in a one game parlay, and both of those guys on the over, then you get it at plus 125. So I like the McKinnon side. Gainwell just needs 2 catches. He's been a lot more involved down the stretch, so I can see that happening as well. And, you know, the Chiefs gave up more catches to the running back position than anybody during the regular season. So you have that going for you. Also, like, I think there's a big play from Jalen Hurts here. You have to worry about that Philadelphia Eagles run. They've been running the ball really well. I feel like in A.J. Brown, I think the longest completion prop is 37.5 for Jalen Hurts. He did it. He's done it 15 times in 17 games this season, if you count the postseason. I think there's a big play to A.J. Brown in here and coming. Devontae Smith is in the postseason, the only one who has an over on this one. He had a 40-yarder against the Giants in the first playoff game.
Yeah, longest reception.
I was going to jump in and say McKinnon was the one that's what I was alluding to with Winston. Yeah. If the Chiefs are going to play the cliche X factor, like if the Chiefs are going to do this, they need McKinnon, because you've got to get pressure away from Mahomes, which would pull some of the blitzing, that kind of options off the pocket. You'll get people dropping back, which will also potentially free up Kelce or Tony or something. Like, McKinnon has to have a game if they're going to win this, in my opinion. So if you go back and if you're going to play the Chiefs side of it, going back to parlays, not just Funston for that, but if you take the over on the receiving yards, a lot of those wins during that stretch, McKinnon was hitting big receiving yard numbers too. So just other ways, if you're going to play the Chiefs side of things.
I think I'm actually going to personally take, I like that Gainwell McKinnon parlay together. I really, really like that one. Putting that together for plus money, I'd probably get closer to plus 150 on the numbers I just put out. You were getting plus 120, 125.
Yeah, if you can get on one of those other sites, I think you will get better numbers for sure.
Yeah, I really, really like that one. Just on your longest reception one, just want to throw out, if you wanted to take the wide receiver side of it, A.J. Brown, 25.5, or Devonta Smith, 23.5, if you didn't want to play the passing side of it. Mine are pretty easy, nothing insane here. You guys have a couple better ones. Anytime rushing touchdown, anytime touchdown for Jalen Hurts. I've seen it anywhere from minus 110 to just even money. I think that is a lock slam dunk. You could pair it obviously with like MVP. Those would make sense together. And rushing yards, though rushing yards is getting kind of finicky here. I'm seeing the number already come up to 50. Earlier in the week, it was 42.5. So the window might be kind of closing. If you can find a good number, I think anything over 45 is where I'd want to go with him. So
if you're going with Madden, he's smashing it. He had 80 something on the simulation.
Yeah, that's true. So you could play into it. I still would be tempted in the 50s right now, which I'm seeing on DK. But I feel like there's a couple other places that might have it a little bit lower. So rushing yards on Jalen Hurts, obviously very Eagle centric. We're in here. I'm actually surprised no one had a Travis Kelce one.
Did you? I didn't look.
I had 6.5 on the receptions. I feel like six.
Yes, I
six
like
is around the number for me. Like, you know,
those are both strong numbers. Who is Jalen Hurts the favorite for first touchdown? Score.
You know what? He I thought he was. Let's see, touchdown scores. Okay, so first touchdown, Jalen Hurts is, technically he's the favorite. You get plus 650. It's 650 for first touchdown. And Kelsey is 700.
Okay.
Miles Sanders is 700 as well. So that's a number that I'm seeing. So that's
just curious that you have it there. What's McKinnon?
McKinnon is plus 1,200. 12-1. 12-1 on that. So that's not bad. So those are some fun bets. If you guys want to jump into the Super Bowl, you're going to have some fun with it. Speaking of fun, the last thing on the Super Bowl here, how about novelty bets? It's Jake's favorite thing you could possibly do. I've got four that I've picked here. Let's burn through them, and then let's talk a little bit about the upcoming season. First up is an easy one, coin toss. And Jake, we're going to start with you with all of them. You get to pick first. Coin toss, it is even money, heads or tails. What do you pick?
Pass.
Pick. Flip a coin.
Exactly. I'm not putting money on this. I'm not throwing away money.
If you had to
50,
pick
50.
One, it's if you had to pick one.
No.
Oh my God. Heads. It's always heads. Brandon, it's heads.
I'm
right?
giving everybody the smart answer.
Let's see. So lifetime tails is ahead 29-27, but heads is
Heads is due.
Heads has been making a furious comeback. They've won four of the last five and like eight of the last 11. So I think it's tails time. I think we're going to see, as I said, I think it was heads last year. They won four of the last five. I think it's time for tails to never fail.
Like I said, it's like, here, look, I'm going to flip a coin right now. I got
right,
a quarter
this is it?
Right here.
This
whatever lands on the table. We're going to flip
this
it.
It's going to simulate the Super Bowl flip. Here we go.
Ah, it was tails. it was tails.
I'll go heads. There you go.
That's the bet. So, yeah, heads, exactly. All right. next up is, I actually kind of like this one. This, again, I like to play degenerate sometime. Jersey number
fun.
To score first.
You so can it's Hurts versus Kelsey, basically.
Yeah, essentially. 11.5 over is plus money at 105. So you get plus money on Travis Kelsey or anybody, you know, Miles Sanders. Which, by the way, are both number 2 and 3 in first score. 11.5 under minus 130. So that's the play there.
What's the odds on betting on number one? Because you get Jalen Hurts and Jarek McKinnon. Well, so, McKinnon scored 9 touchdowns.
That's
his
why
last
I was
going to
take under. Because I was going to get the double of Hurts and McKinnon.
You also get Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, who's at 11. A.J. Brown's number 11. So
that is true.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going here to degenerate. This is amazing.
You get a lot of Eagles versus Pacheco.
I don't know. Yeah. All right, so pick your side. Which one? Over, under, Jake?
I'm taking the under.
Okay, you're taking the under. You're going Jalen.
Yeah.
I'm going to go
Pacheco's
plus
10.
I'm going to go on the over. I'm going to go on Kelsey scoring first. I like that one. All right. This is another one. This is
what is the case? Kelsey or Sanders?
Yeah,
or
pretty much. Well,
MVS.
MVS. I'm going to go with the plus money though. This one is such a great one because it's over instantly. Touchback on the opening kick. Yes is minus 165. No is plus 130.
Yes is under.
Yes has won 18 of the last 21 Super Bowls. Touchback on opening kick, yes or no? Or maybe I have that inverse. Because I read this article about how they said the ball is like plastic, so it's not a normal kick. And the very first one that they put out there. So yes or no on touchback opening kick, Jake?
Oh, yes. I'm still down the rabbit hole trying to think who the hell goes on the over because it hit me that MVS is 11. So Juju's
defensive player?
Like,
all defensive players?
Maybe, but I'm just...
Well, you get Pacheco on the under too.
That's what I was saying.
Your over is Kelsey and Sanders. It's Kelsey and Sanders. That's who you're betting on, pretty much.
But
it's also like, I don't know, that's like 25 touchdowns right there, you know, so it's not for nothing.
That's why it's plus money, too.
Yeah.
All right. Touchback, yes or no, Jake?
Wait, Tony's over. He's 19 now, right? So there you go.
I'm not putting any money behind Kadarius Toney.
I'm taking the touchback for sure, especially in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I like it. Brandon?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, that first one, you just got a bunch of adrenaline going. You just, you know, tee it high and let it fly.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, last one we'll do here is the anthem. The national anthem is set at 1:19 and a half, so that is 59. It's a minute 59 and a half. That is over is minus 210. The under is minus. The under is 1:19 and a half is plus 160. This year's singing is Chris Stapleton, and I looked the average time. This is, I think, historical Super Bowl. Just in general, the average anthem time is 1:43. Not Super Bowl anthem time, but overall.
You had it too high. I don't know where you got your source from. That's the actual. It's 1:43.
I don't like where you're getting the under at plus 160. You can find this at like 125 seconds or 122 seconds.
This is just one random place that I looked.
Then you get the odds a little bit closer, and so you're not, you know, getting.
I thought I was going first, Austin.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so what's the bet on Chris Stapleton? Over, under,
I thought
time?
You were eschewing all,
if you're going by history of similar singers, it's over. And actually, history is generally over unless you're getting like a pop singer or something like that. So,
you're talking
and
this like dude Luke
turned
Bryan.
This, I forget the song. He turned some random ass song into like an 8-minute rendition. So,
I'm thinking like, I don't know, he might just like try to burn through it, like a country-ish singer.
No,
just kind of burn through
that's
it.
Like country, but you know, I would love this as it wasn't so high, like 159, 201. It seems to be hovering right around two. Actually, the fact that it's moving up, because we don't have him singing the national anthem anyway, but the fact that it's moved up on some sites, it feels like Vegas has done some research on this. So I'm gonna lean with Vegas and think that it goes closer to 203.4.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to hit the 2-minute mark. I agree. He's Chris Stapleton, kind of an ambler. You know, I can see him kind of taking a little bit of time before he really gets going, kind of stretches it out in the beginning. I'll take the over on this as well.
All right, there you go. Some novelty bets for everybody. Anybody going to play a Super Bowl DFS contest?
Nope.
None of us.
I don't even love the championship round.
Let's get a final score prediction
I like that. All right, Jake. On. What's the final score?
I said 28-21.
Brandon, what's yours?
I was going to say it's going to mirror the last Super Bowl in Glendale, 28-24.
Ooh, I'm going to go
Eagles. 30-33
Eagles.
So you're all taking well over the cover.
Yeah, I like the over.
I'm slightly over.
You're slightly. I like the heavy over. That might be the play. That might be the play of the over. Or clearly the under, because we all like the over. There you go. That wraps up really the 2022 season with the Super Bowl ending out here. All the craziness that's going to be going on here in Phoenix. The what's that?
I said I like the under. You have bad math.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You like the under, but we... I think I speak for Brandon. We like the over.
That's what it is. So it's you guys.
The degenerates like the over. Yeah, shocker. The degenerates like the over. But that kind of wraps up that. What it lines us up to is what is going to be a fascinating offseason and is going to have some big fantasy implications to this year. They always do. And there are some big storylines that we are already lining up to that we'll be able to talk to in the offseason. But let's do an early preview of some of the biggest. And number one on this is we try to do a little burn through this. And Jake, we'll start with you. Tom Brady threw a retirement out on us. He did his own video. Someone bottled up sand and made $100,000 off of it. But can we believe it? I believe he did the same thing the exact same time last year. And then he came back. There are rumors that he is not going to start his Fox commitment until 2024, which has certain people, like even Jake Seeley, I think, making some predictions of why that is the case. So I know this one might have zero implications, though it does for the Bucks. What fantasy implication does Tom Brady's retirement have? And A, does he come out of retirement and play for a team? Or B, what the hell do the Bucks do? And do they trade all their pieces away because they have nobody?
Yeah, I don't think it's the Bucks. I actually do think he comes back and plays next year. As I already said, it's just this, the fact that he's pushing Fox back to 2024 tells me like there's still a little bit of a holdout of, man, I might still change my mind this year, because why would you stop? Like, he's got nothing else going on and he seems interested in it. So why? You've got 7-6 months before you need to even worry about that. I just feel like this is setting up for, like they said, the 49ers seems to be obvious. Feel like there's I don't know if he wants to go out like this, but put it that way. For Tom Brady, the competitor, and the fact that he was also recently quoted as saying like how much from his family, how much the two Super Bowl losses are hanging over his head and how much that still bothers him to this day, then I just kind of feel like this is not how Tom Brady goes out. So
I'm taking if Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, Brock Purdy's going to be out for the year. You could have Tom Brady come in.
Trey Lance is coming off double ankle surgery. Still a question mark to start the year.
I just don't know how big of a fantasy boost that would be. He didn't look good all year long. He had great fantasy.
For the 49ers?
Yeah, for the 49ers. He had great options in Tampa Bay.
No run game, and the offensive line was giving him issues all year long. I'm not the biggest Tom Brady fantasy apologist at this point of his career, but at the same time, I still think there's a little bit better left.
Brandon, what does this do to the wide receivers in Tampa Bay with no Tom Brady? Are we worried?
Well, if our next talking point, I think, is going to be Derek Carr. And there's a lot of talk that Derek Carr could be the option in Tampa Bay. And if that's the case, I actually think Tom Brady looked like he sort of hit the career wall this year. His passes, you know, compared to the other years in Tampa, he looked like he was, you know, starting to really have problems throwing the ball. He's still better than a lot of quarterbacks in the league, but I saw a degeneration a little bit. I think Derek Carr in there actually throws a better ball and might actually be better for guys like Mike Evans, if not, you know, a shorter area target like Chris Godwin. I think Mike Evans might do better with Derek Carr if he were to end up going there. But I think Tampa probably makes a play for one of the better quarterbacks on the market. Maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know, but I think they're going to, I don't think they're going the route of trying to get somebody through the draft. I think they're going to go for a big name.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo to Tampa Bay makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. It's a play. It's a team that is built more ready to win now. Jimmy Garoppolo, the familiarity of, growing up in a system with Tom Brady, it's an easy transfer over if that's the way they want to go. It leads to number two, though. And it's the guy that might replace Derek Carr in Las Vegas, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the writing seems to be on the wall right now. Jordan Love had essentially requested a trade if he was going to come back. What happens with Aaron Rodgers, and what is the fantasy implication, Brandon, in your eyes, of wherever he is?
That's a tough one. Like, I've heard the Raiders, and the Devontae Adams thing. Makes some sense, but I think the problem with the Raiders is they're paying Derek Carr a pretty penny, and they had a hard time putting a decent defense around them. And like, what happens? Like, what's Aaron Rodgers' cap hit? It's like $50 million. It's like somewhere right around there. Like, how are they going to do? And so does Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career over Derek Carr make up for the fact that you can't bring in some help on the defensive side of the ball like you'd probably want to do? I think there's an issue, but I think the Raiders does make a little bit of sense. Is there another team out there that you feel like is an obvious candidate other than the Raiters?
The 49ers have been talked about.
He went to Cal. If there's no Brady, and Brady, when he says for real this time means for real, then Aaron Rodgers to the 49ers makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of other, Washington has been thrown out there as another one of those. Jake, Aaron Rodgers, destination and how he's going to affect a team as far as fantasy goes. Where do you think the destination takes him?
If not San Francisco for Tom Brady, like talk about it. I think
maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Sense.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I knew where you're going. I interrupted you. I was like, no, we're talking about, but you're saying, oh, yeah, if Tom Brady doesn't go there.
Yeah. And maybe that changes what happens with Tom Brady. I don't know that he really wants to play in Las Vegas. Like that's my biggest thing is.
You're going to go someplace where you're basically ready made to make a run at a Super Bowl, right? Like otherwise. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like unless he really thinks that the Raiders are that close that he makes the difference, which I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, so he probably thinks that of himself. So I don't know. It just the Raiders don't feel like Aaron Rodgers. So it's like what kind of other options are left? I don't know.
New Orleans is, you know, the team that's been rumored for Derek Carr. I guess every team that's rumored for Derek Carr, you throw Aaron Rodgers in
there. Basically the same for the Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I could see something like that. But, you know, also, well, New Orleans at this point, you know, they got some picks with Sean Payton. So they have the capital to kind of make a move now, too. But that's the part of the thing you have to remember with the Raiders is, you know, trading for Adams. What do they really have to give up or want to give up? So I think 49ers, I don't know. They probably want to see him stay in the NFC, but I just don't see very many AFC options for him.
Sticking on that, Brendan already kind of gave his answer of Derek Carr maybe with the Bucks. Where do we think a good landing spot where Derek Carr can help the fantasy options around him, Jake, would be? Is it New Orleans? Does he improve Olave if he goes there? Is it Tampa Bay? I mean, where does he improve fantasy stock based on his destination?
Most everywhere that's looking for quarterbacks. I mean, like that's really what it is. Like Derek Carr is, you know, the middle level quarterback, but all these teams we're talking about, their options were worse. Honestly, if Vegas gets left out of Aaron Rodgers or Brady or like anything like that, I'd still take Derek Carr over Jimmy Garoppolo. So, you know, they kind of made their choice. Part of it is because of the contract. I take Derek Carr over Daniel Jones. I know that's not in play, but I'm like any of these questionable quarterback situations, the 49ers situation, the Saints, like all of them. I would take Derek Carr. Like it's you put a good team, and I think he'll do better for like at what happened with Tom Brady last year. I think Derek Carr could do better in that situation because he's dealt with that similar with the Raiders. I think he's better equipped for that. So I think he's a plus to basically anybody where it's not a worse quarterback, and he's not a worse quarterback in any of these situations.
To your point, Jake, like about Derek Carr versus Daniel Jones, there's just a report out by our former colleague, Connor Hughes, saying that talking around that the market for Daniel Jones is at $37 million per year. So like you are going to be paying Daniel Jones in the same range you're paying Derek Carr. So then it is like, yeah. So who would you prefer? And I would prefer Derek Carr.
You know, low key, kind of a solid quarterback free agent market, which we usually don't see. You could argue what is really available. But, you know, maybe theoretically Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, maybe via trade. You've got Derek Carr. You've got Daniel Jones. You've got potentially
Geno Smith.
Geno. But you could also theoretically maybe throw out guys like Trey Lance and Jordan Love. What if the Packers kept and Jordan Love won? You know what I'm saying? Like there's maybe some tradable young quarterbacks. There's some other quarterbacks that are out there. It could change franchises around. We usually don't have that. I remember us freaking out years past of Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper. And it was like, that's a good market. And it's just like, there's a lot of guys that are out there for a lot of change. The last on the Raiders then is, how about Josh Jacobs, Brandon? Where do you think Josh Jacobs is going to end up landing? He's not the big one we're going to say for last year. But what do you think Josh Jacobs does? And wherever he goes, can he recoup top 12 RB status in fantasy?
I think if he stays where he's at, he can. He was, you know, when we say volume is king, well, he was 2022 king because he had 393 touches. That was better than anybody in the league. Derrick Henry was second with, I think, 10 or 15 fewer. But I always feel like the best move for a running back on free agency is to go stay where they're at because the team is more willing to likely pay you closer to your market value than everybody else. Because when everybody's trying to improve in the offseason, I just think paying a lot of money to a running back doesn't move the needle. You know, people realize that. I mean, Saquon Barkley, it could be different, but this Josh Jacobs, like, if you're looking at Josh Jacobs, are you like, are we going to pay this guy close to $10 million a year or, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood? Or are we going to go and draft a second or third rounder? You know, like, and how much worse off are you? You know, like you're getting a top three or four guy in the draft. I'd rather have the top three or four guy in the draft with 5 years on a new contract versus paying a guy in his mid-20s at the running back position, you know, that much money. It's not how you win in the NFL. Yeah.
Alan Lazard is out here
talking about how the market's got him set for 15 plus million a year.
15
I'm sorry.
To 17.
I'm sorry for the work that you now have to do when I say this, Welsh, but
pork chop sandwiches.
That. If you're going to tell me that Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs don't deserve 10 to 14 a year with podunk wide receivers getting 15 plus, get the hell out of here with this nonsense. I'm not saying
why does Alan, but that's just Alan Lazard saying that. He's going to get 15 million?
He's right. That's the market. Go look at the contract they just gave out last year.
I wouldn't give like, Alan Lazard 15
everybody,
million.
Everybody lost their
pork chop sandwiches.
When Christian Kirk got his contractors are like, why are we giving wide receivers these contracts and blah, blah, blah. Average wide receiver threes are getting mid-teens, and we're talking about elite-level running backs that can't even get 12? So I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that's where the market is, and I think that's stupid as hell. I get what you're saying, and because the market is what it is, sure, if you can get somebody similar to Jacobs in the draft, go ahead, but what are the chances you do? Like,
but don't you think the Raiders are more likely to pay Josh Jacobs closer to what he deserves?
Oh, 100%, but I was going to say, here's your answer, if not. The other team who's probably about to cut somebody in the similar situation with Joe Mixon, and the Bengals have a ton of money, and the Bengals are Super Bowl contenders, and the Bengals probably don't want to take a flyer on somebody in the draft and hope that it works with their other needs, like offensive line still and all that type of stuff, and a little bit more pieces on the secondary. And yes, Samaje Perine's looked fine at times, but how many times have we seen a replacement-level running back step up to the lead and fail? You talk about putting Jacobs, who, by the way, is about to turn 25, Christian or Saquon Barkley for the day that we're recording this, by the way. Happy birthday, Saquon Barkley.
Hey,
there you go. Turn 26 today. Let's take a special one out for Saquon Barkley. But both of these guys are going to get undeserved probably contracts if we're talking about wide receivers getting that kind of nonsense.
Well, also to throw out, there's a rumor out that the Vikings, Dalvin Cook might be a cap casualty as well for the moves that they need to make having
Jimmy
Madison.
Jacobs 10 times out of 10.
But you're going to have a market that, what if they're flooded with Mixon and Cook and Jacobs is out there? That's what Lafonso says makes sense.
A lot of times the best contract and the best situation will end up being going back to the team you went to.
Yeah, 100%. Well, let's end it out, Jake, with you. Saquon Barkley, that's your guy. I see a jersey right there on screen. It's the probably the biggest non-quarterback name that's sitting out there. Does he return to the Giants or does he make a fantasy home somewhere else?
I think he returns to the Giants because I think the Giants are going to try and work something out with Daniel Jones, unfortunately. And I think that 37 and, you know, there's already been executives that have laughed at the 40 number for Daniel Jones. If the Giants come out with something similar to a contract of like a 3 for 30 each year or even 4 for 30 each year with 80 guaranteed, something like that, is there's a blueprint for that. I can see Daniel Jones coming back. And then what do you do with Barkley? You try to get him 4 years, 40, something like that, 4 years, 44. And if you don't, he gets the franchise tag, which sucks because go look at the franchise tag is what, $10 million? Something like that? You're going to get 1 year, $10 million, Saquon Barkley. Every team in the league would slap the franchise tag on him if they got the quarterback situation taken care of.
Brandon, do you agree? Do you think he's returning to the Giants?
I do, just for all the reasons I said about Josh Jacobs, for all the reasons Jake said as well. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's kind of the letdown that happens is like you get all these players that go out in free agency. Everybody gets excited. What could happen? And then like everybody returns to their teams. It's because you like Brandon said.
You really
said,
think the Ravens are going to get all the way there and then be like, we didn't work anything out. We'll let Lamar walk. Like they're not going to franchise him.
I saw it with Rashad Penny, who was as good as any running back down the stretch the year before, and he went into free agency, and the Seahawks brought him back on a real cheap deal. No one else was willing to go out there and pay him, and he ended up getting hurt again, and that was probably one of the reasons. But Saquon Barkley has injury history as well, and you know, so does Josh Jacobs to a little extent. So
let me tell you, there are so many incredible storylines. Those are just scratching the surface. Jake threw right back in. Oh, yeah. Guess what? Lamar Jackson. That's going to be kind of a big one as well. There's tons that are going to go on as they materialize. Hopefully we'll be able to be talking to you about all of them and more. Plus, we've got NFL draft that is coming right around the corner. It's unbelievable. As the Super Bowl ends, it never really does end on the fantasy football season. That's why you want to make sure that you are subscribed at The Athletic. Go and subscribe today and follow these gentlemen on Twitter at Jake Seeley and Brandon Funson. You can find me at Is It The Welsh. And make sure you're subscribed to this podcast because you want to be notified when we surprise you with a pod. Until next time, friends, it's The Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, and we will talk to you for the 2023 season next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.